Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
Hey, what's going on there, pal?
We saw you at the hockey game on.
Do I know you guys?
I'm Ryan Whitney. I got a drink named after me.
Not a big deal.
Pink Whitney? That's what I thought. See you, fellas.
I invented the thing, you pigeon.
Pink Whitney for legendary moments.
Reveille, reveille, reveille. It's a Tuesday edition here on Zero Block 30, and I gotta say, even though it's only a week, like we only really were off for a week, I guess, which is a lot for comparatively to most folks in their jobs, it's good to be back. Even when we take a one episode break, I'm like, I'm ready to get back in the lab with the folks and get going again. It's good. And we got a good show for you today. We have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one, we have some good initiative, bad judgment. A high school student rigs the election. Stolen election again, but this time it isn't for the presidential election. It is for homecoming. And this story, by the way, is from my high school. I don't know if you guys knew that when I put it in the sheet. This was my high school, JM Tate High School in Pensacola, Florida. Well, Cantonment. Actually, they say Cantonment, Florida, which is a town of 26,000. It's not in Cantonment. It's in a town called Gonzales, Texas, is where Tate actually is. And if you're in Gonzales, Texas, I highly recommend Franz Diner. They have a fried rabbit that is absolutely die for.
Really?
Well, oh, yeah. They have fried rabbit that they do. It's like a whole rabbit that you get fried, minus the head and minus the legs. No, the legs are there. And then they also have, it comes with mashed potatoes, brown gravy, and a little bit of broccoli on the side. So you'll get healthy just like Stephen Shea likes it. Round number two, watching Squid Game in the U.S. The worst thing that could happen is you stay up from a binge watching fest. But if you watch it in North Korea, you might wake up dead in the morning. Not great. Round number three, earlier this week, NASA used a movie-type approach in a first-ever test to protect the human race from asteroids, the double asteroid redirection test. Double asteroid.
Whoa.
Not even just a single asteroid. We got a double asteroid. Round number four, we need to clear the air about some national headlines that many people are saying is Kate. Hopefully it's not Kate, but we haven't really seen if it is.
I hope not, but
we haven't talked to her much, so we're going to have to see. We're going to have to dive into it. And finally, round number five, it's time to update the safety brief. A group of olds at a nursing home demonstrate why junior troops can't have toasters in the barracks. You're going to find what that's about in round number five, as you were.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
The other day I posted something. Oh, I posted a picture of this lamb roast that I made over the last week. Somebody from England had the audacity to be like, that looks gross. I wouldn't eat that. I'm like, motherfucker, you guys eat baked beans for breakfast. Right. Like, you put beans and toast and an egg and you call that a feast. I don't want a bean feast.
Nothing against our pals from Britain, but they aren't exactly known for their cuisine.
Right. Nice. Of all the countries in Europe, I will not abide a British man. No, talking shit about if it's a tea take, sure, you can have your little tea takes. Also, shout out to England for saying crisp. I love the term crisp if we're talking about chips. Mm-hmm. It's so much better than chips, and they use biscuits for cookies. It seems feel like if you have a chocolate chip biscuit and a chocolate chip cookie, the chocolate chip biscuit's got to have at least half the calories, right? Like it doesn't match up.
Yeah,
but healthier. Then that Fred Durst song wouldn't be as good. See, you can take that biscuit and stick it up your ass.
Yeah, true.
Something to think about.
Yeah, but it is Limp Bizkit. Maybe it's Limp Cookie. Maybe that's what it's actually about, where they're dipping it into Oreos. Maybe that's what the entire name is. Maybe Fred Durst is just a big Oreo head.
I mean, he did, in fact, say it was all about the nookie. So maybe it's all about the cookie.
Yeah, maybe nookie was just him having a speech impediment. It's hard to say. Not that there's anything wrong with having a speech impediment.
There's a problem with it.
We don't care. You talk however you want to. Use your non-regional diction or your regional diction as much as you possibly can. Anyways, it was a big time Thanksgiving weekend. I spent so much time on eBay this break looking. I wanted to get a jacket because I was watching this show, and I think it was one of those Alaska fishing shows. And this dude is out on his boat. He's not getting into the water or anything like that, but he's wearing this old Leatherman jacket. Mm-hmm. It was from like the 1970s, and it was his high school bowling team, and it had his name on it. It said like Chip as the name. And I was like, dude, I want to find a Letterman jacket like that, like an old school one.
Mm-hmm.
I found one that was from your neck of the woods, Kate, where you love Indiana. You're a big Indiana head.
Yeah.
And one of them was, it was a rowing championship from a high school in Indiana. I had no idea they were doing rowing in Indiana.
They got a couple ponds out there. Yes.
Just river or two.
Yeah.
I think that the misconception is that you need a river to row crew, and you don't. You just need a body of water. So they have those.
Oh, you can do it in a pond anywhere.
Pool or pond. Pond be good for you.
You can put wheels on the bottom of your boat.
Yeah. A pool would be a little bit tough. And we're starting to get into the Christmas present vibe. And I know, Kate, you've already done yours since September.
Kate's with Christmas.
They called me they went to Arkansas to see my brother and his wife and kids. And they called me on Saturday, and they're like, we're opening all our Christmas presents. They did it again. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't just sit here and, you know, people.
Understand if Joe and Virginia aren't going to be able to go to Arkansas again before Christmas, going out of state and visiting somebody outside in between the Thanksgiving and Christmas window, I feel like you have full rights to do Christmas together in person, so you don't have to do it over Zoom.
Yeah,
but they had no excuse when you were living in the house.
Now, and especially
she's gonna get upset again. She got mad.
I'm sorry.
You're a great mom. Anyway,
it makes a little more sense post Thanksgiving, but September, no.
Yeah, how was your Thanksgiving, Kate? You had some ordeals that you went through.
All right.
Hold on, let me get comfortable.
Settle in. First time flying with the baby, okay? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he can hear me or not. I'm just gonna say it all. A long time in advance, I was like, hey, make sure it's all on you. Like, you plan the trip out.
I like how she has to make sure that he can't hear now. Not like this is going out to thousands of people.
And even the night before, I'm like, are you sure the baby doesn't need like paperwork or anything like that? Like, do we need to bring his birth certificate or whatever? Like, you're planning this whole part. Like, he's like, no, I'm sure we're good. Like, okay. We get to the airport, and I wanted to leave like 2 hours early because it's Thanksgiving Eve at Newark Airport. I'm like, let's get there.
And if
like,
you want to leave early, that's saying something.
And he's like, well, we live right near the airport. We both have clear. It's like not that big a deal. I'm like, okay. So we leave, and we're already kind of cutting it close.
Right. Oh no, I hate this already.
We decide that he's going to drop me off with the baby. I'm going to secure a spot in the security line for us. I get upstairs, clear as closed.
Wait, I'm sorry, time out. So he's dropping you and he's parking in long-term parking?
Yes, not long-term parking, but like, yeah, it was far enough away that he needed to take a tram.
The parking in Newark is you need to add 30 minutes to your trip. That's how far away it is.
Cons, settle in. Okay. Clear is closed. There's no representatives there, nothing. The machines are down. So I'm like, okay, it's fine.
Which is an abomination to the Lord. Clear has got to stay open. If you have that service and it's not there and you're relying on it and you think it's there and it's not, you could be fucked.
Yes, see, absolutely.
This is why I don't use Clear. I use TSA pre-check because I think you're more apt to just always have TSA pre as opposed to Clear.
I think you're right, Con. So anyway, I'm in the line and it's Thanksgiving Eve. So it's packed and I'm going through. I have the baby. I have a bag on my front, a bag on my back. I'm enormous. The baby's got stuff under it. Like, we're going through the security line and finally we're getting closer and closer. And I'm like, hey, like, where are you? Can you send me my ticket? Cause I'm about to go through now. So he sends me the ticket and I don't even look at it. I just assume we're good. I get called up and I'm like, I guess we'll see you on the other side. I'm going through.
You're about to have your own Home Alone moment.
I get up to the ticket counter. I scan the thing, beep. And he's like, okay, do you have the baby marked off anywhere on here? And I was like, what? He's like, that you didn't select the ticket for the baby. You need a ticket for the baby. Even if you don't have to pay for it, you need to select infant on the ticket. And I'm like, right away, my immediate instinct was to throw Pat under the bus. My boyfriend got these tickets and I didn't know any different. I'm such a piece of shit. And he's like, yeah.
That's how you made a piece. That's what happened. You're not throwing him under the bus. That is what happened.
Well, so I text Pat. I'm like, please tell me the baby's on your ticket at least so we can get through. And he's like, oh, he just responds, oh no.
I bet his stomach dropped like a motherfucker. One, because he's already running late. You wanted to go. That is the risk you're taking when you're in a relationship. If you want to be the second one, it's never ideal to be the one who says, no, we can wait. Because if something happens, you are fucked. Fucked. Yeah. If your wife or your boyfriend or whoever says, we got to leave now because we don't want to be late. It doesn't matter if it's 10 hours before, because if something happens and there's a bad wreck and you don't get there, it is on you and you alone.
Mm-hmm. Well, at this point, there's about 30 minutes until the flight boards. Okay. I turn around I'm holding up the line.
Which typically is plenty of time on clear. Plenty.
Yes. I turn around and I'm like, can I open these to get out so I don't have to go back through the serpentine? And they're like, I have to go with all my shit with the baby in the stroller. I have to go back through like 45 rungs of the serpentine full of Thanksgiving travelers and their bags. The ultimate walk of shame. I'm drenched in sweat. The baby has been so good. He's starting to get fussy. I go back through the airport. I have to go down another floor to the Allegiant ticket counter.
For adults, by the way, too. Fussy is just such a fantastic.
I'm going to tell you, I'm fussy all the time.
Yeah.
I'm always fussy.
So I finally get back down to the Allegiant counter and now I have to wait because there's other people. Now I'm waiting in another serpentine. I'm waiting in another line. I finally get up there. The flight is starting to board. I'm like, can you please help add the baby to this ticket? Here's what's going on. Pat's almost there. I'm like, come to the ticket counter, whatever. And the lady goes, honey, the doors to this flight close in 6 minutes. There is no way you're going to get all the way back upstairs, go through the security line and get in that door in 6 minutes. She's like, I'm just telling you, you have missed your flight. Like, that's it. And I was like, all right, fair enough.
Do you think those people, excuse me for using those people. Do you think those people at the airport revel in that because they're working like Thanksgiving weekend and it's so shitty to be TSA or any of those types of jobs at that time where they're looking at it and they're like, got another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quite possibly.
I would. I just being honest. I would be so, I would have like a little ticker in my pocket. Like every time somebody missed their flight, be like, oh, I got another one.
Yeah. Well, so also keep in mind too, like packing for a baby for a flight, like I had done
a lot of stuff.
I had done
so much stuff probably.
I had done a lot of prep work and just the morning of making sure he's ready to go, like a lot of thought and time and planning went into this. So I pull off to the side and I'm like, we're going no matter the fuck what, we're going to go and see your parents for Thanksgiving. Like, I don't care. But the huge part was that this flight was a direct flight. 2 hours is all it would have taken. Okay. Mm-hmm. We pull up the side. Now Pat's arguing with the airline saying he's on the phone. There was no option to add a baby. And in my head, I'm like, I know they fly babies. I know there's like an option. Like we're not the first people.
But you also just got to let them go.
I said in my head, I was like, I could ruin Thanksgiving right now if I wanted to. I could fucking ruin it. And I was like, don't. It was a rare moment of emotional intelligence for me. I was like, don't.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Real quickly. How long would a drive would have been?
Like to Knoxville, like 7 or 8 hours. Okay. Each way with the baby. So,
all right.
Well, it turns out that's what we ended up doing anyway that day because we got a flight that went to Atlanta and then went to Knoxville. It was no air conditioning, fully packed to the brim. We barely had time to get on that flight. So, we didn't have time to change. I had to change the baby on the plane and then hold him like a football and pee myself, which, if you've ever been, there's piss all over the floor. I was sweating. I hadn't eaten and I'm breastfeeding. So, I get like hangry. Like, it was just by the time we get. Finally, we were supposed to have arrived in Knoxville at 1 o'clock. It was like the sun was down. It was like 6:30 or something. Finally, the car and two, I was like, can you make sure like the car seat and everything, like when we get there ahead of time, come out.
Did you say it like that? Or did you, because if I know spouses and I know significant others, I could see you saying like, can you at least get the car seat right? Can you do that?
Yeah.
Is this something that I can put in your purview and you can handle?
But too, ahead of time, I was like, just make sure that's on too. I know, like,
Alex
whatever.
Says that shit to cons.
We come out and
bro, I got chastised this morning because she saw two freaking beard hairs on the sink. So yeah, I can only imagine what this would be like for me.
Yeah, we get outside and find, and the baby now has had it. This poor kid has been flying, so, and he's got an ear infection too. So like, this kid was going through, and he just got over hand, foot, and mouth, which is a whole other story there.
Which Kate's whatever. Currently in the midst of.
Right. Anyway, so we're just getting, I'm starting to feel not so good. I'm like, oh my God, I'm just at the end of my rope. The baby's at the end of his rope. We come out to get in the car, and the car seat is just resting on the back seat with the instruction manual sitting on it. And I was like, ah!
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, we ended up having a great time. It was lovely.
I guess lesson learned. And I will say, listen, having never flown with a child, I asked myself, wait, did you know that an infant would need something? And the answer was, I didn't know. But the answer was also, but I would definitely check and make sure.
Yeah. And it's, the rules have changed because it used to be international flights. You had to get a ticket. Like when I flew with Kelsey, when Kelsey was little, going from Japan, you have to. It just makes sense. Like you're going to have a car seat that long where they can sit and do all those things. But it used to be domestically under two, you didn't have to, you could put the baby in your lap, kind of like going to a movie theater or whatever, which I still think is the way it should be.
I had him in my, I didn't have to get him a ticket. He's free. You just still have to, for the flight manifest, they need the head count accurately. So you must select ticket for the baby no matter what. And that's
And it seems like that's something that they could have been like, okay, we'll just go ahead and check it and get it out of the way, because you can add a flight like right before you take off anyway. So why couldn't they do that? That was bullshit.
The other crappy thing about airlines is it all comes down to like, who did you get to help you that day? Yeah. And sometimes you'll get that person and it says like, hey, listen, it's crazy.
Some people just don't want to help.
That's what I'm saying, chaps. Like, then there's people like you mentioned earlier that just enjoy the fact that you've screwed up and they're like, oh, sorry, you missed your flight. So it really is just a crapshoot on who you're going to get to deal with.
Yeah.
But it all worked out in the end. We had a bunch of folks over. I cooked my Popeye's turkeys. I told nobody that they're Popeye's turkeys before they came. Did I not tell you guys about this?
No, you did.
What?
Oh, so I got turkeys from Popeye's that were like frozen, huge 15-pound turkeys from Popeye's because I saw it on TikTok that they were good. Well, I went and bought two of them and I smoked both of them and they were fantastic. I didn't tell anybody that was coming to my house. We had like four families come over and I didn't tell anybody that I was cooking Popeye's turkey. Whenever we were done, several of them came up. They're like, dude, I don't mean to gas you up or nothing, but that was the best turkey I've ever had.
Nice. And I'm sorry. Tell me, how did you cook it? You smoked it or fried it?
I smoked it over peach and oak wood.
Wow. That's Pat's brother smoked a turkey on the grill and it was the best one I've ever. It was so fucking good.
It was so juicy and so good.
Yeah, we had two turkey breasts that were smoked on my future brother-in-law's Traeger. I don't know that I've ever had smoked turkey. Maybe I have, but not like that. It
it's
was
the best
good.
Way to have it for sure. And I was kind of wondering if like, because they did all the brining and everything, if it was going to stay juicy and if the smoke was going to actually enhance the flavor. Definitely did. I was super excited.
And you know what? Big Gravy's very upset because Big Gravy's been riding high on the fact that turkey by and large a lot of times is dry, so you need that gravy with the smoked turkeys. Gravy not necessary.
You don't need it. You don't need it with a lot of the fried. You don't need it with fried either. The whole turkey's dry situation, I feel like we got to be better. If your turkey's dry at this point, it's because you don't know how to cook. Simple.
Yeah, there's options.
That's just
now.
The way it is. All right, let's get into the actual subjects of the day. The first one comes to us from my lovely high school hometown. I'm super excited about this story. This actually happened about a year ago and I kind of brushed it off. I was like, this is a new story because it's funny essentially that somebody would try to rig a homecoming queen, I guess, election. And now things that are coming out, these people are looking at 16 years in prison. 16 years in prison, and one of them is a high school girl who just graduated. Kate, can you walk us through? Let's go through this story line by line because it's incredible.
This story is wild. On March 15th, four police cruisers pulled up to a modest brick house in the sleepy town of Cantonment, Florida, to arrest two accused hackers. The cops fanned out SWAT team style around the home, stationing themselves at the front, back, and side doors. They pounded on the windows and demanded the alleged cyber crooks to show their faces. Out came an unlikely pair, Laura Carroll, a petite 50-year-old elementary school vice principal, and her 17-year-old daughter, Emily Grover, a popular tennis star and A student at nearby Tate High School.
Go Aggies.
Go Aggies. Police cuffed the woman, and at one point, Carroll begged them to let her put a bra on before hauling her away to jail, she said.
The that is the most Southern shit of all time.
Yeah. Please, let me put on my underlings.
And the best part is that once you get to jail, they make you take your bra off anyways, because you're not allowed to have bras in jail.
Can't have your bra anyway. So the teen was then taken to a juvenile detention center. 8 months later, they both faced 16 years in prison, a punishment harsher than what some high-level ransomware attackers and corporate data thieves receive. But the pair stands accused of a more bizarre crime, hacking into a school computer system to rig a homecoming election in Grover's favor. The alleged cheat for glory could have ended with a slap on the wrist if it weren't for local parents' fears, investigators' ambitions, and the pair's own stubbornness. It's a perfect storm. This is like an absolute perfect storm of things making this way worse than it needs to be. The duo has refused a no jail plea agreement. Fucking wild. And the case is now headed to trial as soon as January. In an interview, the women tell me they've become town pariahs who rarely leave the house and are desperately trying to repair their reputation, but they have no plans to back down.
And that is so contradictory. All you have to do is say, I'm sorry. Like that, like that's all the prosecutor was asking, is to say, I'm sorry. And you lose your job. You go out and find another job. You eventually recover. What the fuck are you doing, Carol?
Yeah. Well, Carol says we're not pleading guilty to something we didn't do. If there was a crime committed, the punishment doesn't fit. So they're not going to. So for us, the important thing is to clear our name and to let the whole honest story come out, she said.
You did it.
You did it.
You did it.
Maybe you did a little bit. To hear Grover's family, friends, and teachers tell it all, she was a beloved athlete who worked hard to overcome attention deficit disorder, only to become ensnared in the tech mix-up that made her a sacrificial lamb.
Now, look, I have ADD. Like, I have that diagnosed. Overcome. Like, we're not like you, it's not like you were fucking paraplegic. Like, right. You're overcome. You take a Ritalin, throw a Vyvanse down your throat. Like, you're gonna be okay. Like, half of America has ADD.
Right.
That's just interesting. I think, you know, if I grew up now, I
been
probably
would have
been
like trying to overcome this flatulence that he's had forever.
I think I would have been diagnosed with something, some sort of thing, but I overcame that too. My point being just that, like, I think everybody has some level of that to a certain extent. I don't think anyone's without some level.
Everybody has something. You go into a psychiatrist right now, right. You take a test, you are getting diagnosed with something before.
Right. Nobody's perfect.
You're right.
Well, to hear law enforcement in school. So people are saying she overcame ADD. Everybody loved her. She was a good kid. She's a sacrificial lamb. It's her mom's fault kind of thing. To hear law enforcement and school officials tell it, Grover and her mother tarnished the dignity of the time-honored homecoming tradition, rattled parents, and caused a legitimate computer security threat to hundreds of students. So both sides here being a little dramatic.
Exactly the type of town that Cantonment and Gonzales is, where nothing happens. If this is a time-honored tradition, which I will admit, homecoming and Cantonment was a big fucking deal. And I think I mentioned that before. We had like homegoing and homecoming. Mm-hmm, we had two of them. Mm-hmm. Like, so I had mentioned that it was a big deal before. But it's not like the town doesn't stop for Tate. Like, it just doesn't. Like, that. I think that when you read this, it reads a lot like Friday Night Lights. Yes. That you would have like here in Texas, like Friday. It's not that way. It is not to that level at all. So these people acting like it is also insanity. It's fucking homecoming at a school that averages around 3,000 students.
Well, and here's what they say went down to lead to all this. To win the crown, investigators say Grover got dozens of student ID numbers and birth dates from a district-wide computer system using her vice principal mom's login. So she went on her mom's account and was able to look up all this info. The pair then allegedly cast 246 fake votes at least for the teen on Carol's cell phone and a computer at their home through Election Runner, a third-party app used through the school. So the school had an app, log on, sign in, pick who you want to be homecoming queen, and they
And then all schools had that. It's like a schoolology. Like yeah. is what mm-hmm. our, my kids used. And they all have it where you can talk to the teacher. Like it's in, it's a lot better than having email. Like, so if you know something comes from there, it comes directly to your phone. You have push notifications. For instance, McCartney was sick today and I had a, had a fever. I go, had to go pick him up. And we get the notification through that yeah. app that we got to come. Like there, it's a good thing to have.
Yeah, absolutely. So they figured out a way to hack the system there. Caroline Gray, a student council teacher in charge of the homecoming vote, was the first to spot something fishy. On the morning of October 30th, 2020, the day Grover was crowned at an elaborate ceremony, Gray noticed the app had flagged dozens of false votes. Gray, who is known for being a
This woman is the secret loser of the entire thing. Caroline. Being a teacher and scouring over these votes to the point where you realize that there's something fishy and awry going on, loser.
No, I don't think so. The app is the one that told her. It was like, hey, there's a bunch of fake votes here. And so if I saw that on the app, I'd be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah,
is
but this? Keep going. This woman, I just want to flag like the app did for these. I want to flag this woman as a grade A, big old capital L loser.
Well, she's known. She sounds
she's
lovely.
Probably she's, a lovely woman.
She was the teacher of the year in 2017.
Seems okay.
And despite her good relationship with Grover, she was suspicious about all these invalid votes that were cast. Don't be suspicious. Anyway, so she called at least four students, including a boy who had helped cast his vote at 4 a.m. to see if their votes were legit. So she's saying the flagged ones to me like, all right, it says Tony voted for Grover. Let me call Tony and see if he did. Along with Ernest. And so obviously the answer was no. These students were like, no, I did not.
Yeah. So some of the students, we cut that part out of the actual story because this thing, the Daily Beast treated this essentially like the Russiagate with Trump. Like it's like 8,000 words about this story. But the students were like, no, we didn't do that. What? Which would be an awkward question. Like if you come in, you're in 10th grade and your teacher's like, hey, did you vote at 3 a.m. for homecoming? What the fuck would you want to know? Like, imagine what that puts you in as like a teenager. You're sitting there thinking this is about me. Like, what did I do?
Think you're in trouble if you get right. asked that question.
Like, are you going to tell my mom I was up way past my bedtime? What the fuck is, what's the end game here?
Yeah. The whole thing's, well, so now there's like a little bit of a scandal bubbling. And that night, not everyone was pleased that Grover had won. There were angry moms, Carol said. The runner-up was born to be homecoming queen. Her mama was probably a homecoming queen. She's a cheerleader, blonde, and sweet, and dingy. Whatever dingy
I
want to
see that interview. I need it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
this has to have somebody with like the big poofed out hair. Like it's big. Like her mama was a homecoming
queen. Higher the hair, the closer like, to God.
That's what you're destined for. That is cantonment for sure. That somebody's destined to be homecoming queen.
Mm. Yeah. But this is the part that's interesting to me. Instead of turning the evidence over to school administrators, somebody called the police. This person named Marsh, they handed over the case to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, whose computer crimes unit often probes serious identity theft. And internet files. Yeah, so they could have just said, hey, school administration, this is weird. Instead, they called the cops. Special Agent Stephanie Cassidy soon found that imagine being a special fucking agent doing badass work, and they're like, we need you to do this homecoming.
It's really perfect though, because it's kind of like the cop equivalent of being in the military, where everybody assumes that you tell them, oh, I was a Marine. Oh, I was in the Army. Oh, well, you were definitely a Green Beret, or oh, you were definitely a reconnaissance bubba. Oh, you're definitely a Navy SEAL. Special agent, you think, oh, always doing some crazy shit. Oh, actually, no, this week I'm just investigating a high school homecoming.
So Special Agent Stephanie Cassidy soon found that a total of 124 votes had come from the same IP address, Carol's cell phone, between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m., according to investigators. A second IP address where at least 122 more votes had been cast was linked to a computer at Carol's home. I love that these two are still denying it then, when a fucking special agent's like, here's the proof he did it. By the time that Cassidy showed up to Carol's doorstep, she had lawyered up. Any questions could go straight to her attorney, she told the cops.
Jesus.
In December, as the school board weighed whether to expel Grover, the teen sent a holiday reindeer trinket with a letter to the district's new superintendent, Timothy Smith. In it, she allegedly apologized for looking at other students' accounts, but stopped short of admitting to rigging the homecoming election. Carol and Grover.
You have a 10,000 word article but you can't confirm whether or not she sent this.
Yeah. Carolyn Grover's strong-willed, reputation-focused refusal to talk to cops and take a no-jail plea agreement also played a role in why things escalated. They expected us to say, yeah, we did it, but we didn't, Carol said. I wouldn't let them talk to my daughter. We just didn't answer the questions the way they wanted us to. Wow, very brave. Midway through the investigation, warrants get issued. There's a plea to let them turn themselves in. They're just like digging their heels in no matter what. Instead, multiple cop cars were sent to the mom and daughter's home. Oh, within goodness. Minutes of a warrant getting issued. It was like killing a fly with a hammer.
You know what it reminded me of? Like, I picture that scene where you have goofy old top hat wearing Roger Stone in his house in Florida, and you have a full out SWAT team from the DEA going to get his shit. Yeah. It's like, dude, it's Roger Stone. Like, bring a couple old ladies. One of them's going to be named Marge, and you're going to get Roger to come in without any problem.
Yeah, they say police were acting like they were freaking Al Capone. And this again goes to like small town where nothing happens. Like, I remember the small area I grew up in. One time there, I was on the road and there was like 10 fire trucks and 18 police cars and like whatever. I'm like, what's going on up here? And it's like, oh, a dog got hit by a guy. And it's like, oh, I mean, that's sad, but the whole town showed up because nothing ever happens there.
Like, that's this is all kind of funny. You guys ever see that movie with Cameron Diaz, Bad Teacher, where the one teacher was like super, super square?
I have, but it's been a long time.
All right, anyway, yeah. This reminds me of that. But then also, and you know, you guys all have children, so please correct me if I'm wrong. I think there's a very fine line, because clearly this mother wanted her daughter to be homecoming queen. I think there's a very fine line between being proud of your children and then being a little too much and a little too invested in their lives.
This like, is I see the pure example of living through your children.
Yes.
Pure.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I just think of some of these people I see on social media, and they post incessantly about their children. Like, their children are
their children's success.
Hey, now.
Well, not ever. I mean, if you're in advances cash, we understand.
That's true.
Tired and wired onesies still available.
And Nick also looking back there with a smirk, because he likes to post about Gia, even though she is adorable.
I'll
tell you guys offline about what I'm thinking of specifically, but it's just a little much.
Spicy. Oh, well, anyway, this story was just so cool. It sounds like a movie almost. I wouldn't be surprised if this turned into a movie.
It should be, because the girl who was runner up went on fucking Good Morning America or the Today Show. One of the
Ariana Wyatt, who sounds like she was born to be homecoming queen. You know? Yeah. So people are people in the comment section saying, I feel as violated as I would if she worked in the medical field and violated HIPAA with her looking up my students' ID.
And the only thing on those is like grades and how many days you missed and how many times you were tardy. People acting like they actually care. Shut up. And also the superintendent, the school district needs to put in place where principals from one school can't look at other schools' shit. Like, there's no need for that. Why would you need to do that unless a student transfers? The entire story is it's really like a shrunk down version of what America is. Really.
Yeah.
Like, where you have all the, it's not a big deal, and people are making it way bigger deal than it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Speaking of movies,
say you messed up and don't, this mom too, like the mom dragging it out and possibly having her daughter face 16 years in prison, which she obviously will not get.
But still.
The minor will get, but they even put it on the table where your kid can play that just because you have some silly ass pride. The fuck out of here, mom.
Yeah.
It's take ridiculous. Your fucking lump and move on to the next play.
Crazy.
Have you guys ever seen, it was a movie 2 years ago on HBO, Bad Education. It's actually a true story about a school scandal. It's about the largest embezzlement in school history in the United States. It's a really good movie, but anyway.
Lots of stuff going on at school, including Aunt Becky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, every year my old high school has a big scandal where they're stealing money and stuff. It's a treat. Something
I'm
else.
Just happy that Tate was in the high school, was in the national news. Makes me feel good.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
These homecoming queen and none of it matters at the end of the day, but guess who was voted funniest at her high school?
Me too. Witty.
It matters. You got one. I got losers if you didn't get one.
Tell me if you guys are surprised by this one. I got voted loudest.
No, definitely not.
Surprised. Not surprised. That's
crazy, right?
In
crazy.
The private.
I think you would still get that even at Barstool. I think you'd get that.
I also got voted smallest tits in middle school.
So. Oh. Hmm. All right.
Thanks a lot, Brian S. People don't forget.
Okay.
You know. All right, let's move on to round number two, which is a little bit more military, I guess, because it involves North Korea.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Let's move on to North Korea. I saw this story coming through, and it feels like stories like this are popping out more and more because the internet in these restricted countries is going to be harder and harder to protect as technology finds ways around their governmental firewalls and all that stuff. Things are going to get out a lot more, which is great. Anytime that you can have more information going to a dark place like North Korea, you absolutely want that. And that's what's going on here because they want to keep everything under wraps and only present it in the North Korean way. Kate, walk us through what's happening in round number two from the New York Post.
So a smuggler who sold copies of Netflix's smash hit series Squid Game to North Korea has been sentenced to death by firing squad. Holy fuck.
Yeah. What's the best way if you're sentenced to death? What's the worst way to die? Do you think?
Worst, probably electric chair. That's really high up there. Drawn and quartered. Are we doing old timey stuff?
Yeah,
too?
Are we doing old timey stuff? What do they do like with
medieval
the
times?
William of Wallace is bowels.
Yeah, stretch them.
Yeah, that thing's probably not great.
Drawn and quartered.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
That would be real.
I think that'd be the worst.
Pretty shitty.
Pretty bad.
That's pretty lengthy.
Pretty not great.
Yeah, and that suffocation is how you...
Beer bong full of bees. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Anyway, shout out
Macaulay Culkin.
Why is this happening? The man allegedly smuggled copies of the Korean language show on a USB drive from China into North Korea, where seven high school students were caught watching the footage. A student who bought one of the flash drives received a life sentence, while six others who watched the footage have been sentenced to 5 years hard labor. Teachers and admin at the school.
Imagine what you would get in North Korea if you rigged a homecoming.
Oh my goodness.
Forget it. You'd be donezo for sure.
I'm sure there's a ZBT in North Korea like these fucking people over there. You think it's bad for Squid Games. At least that shows murder. She just faked some numbers and added in some things at night.
Absolutely.
She gets 16 years. Those fucked up Americans.
Damn Americans. Teachers and admin at the school were also fired or face remote labor in mines and, you know, all the labor camps and everything. Radio Free Asia reported that the hit series had made its way to the reclusive hermit kingdom, despite efforts by North Korean authorities to keep it out of the country where foreign media is banned. The dystopian graphic and violent show about 456 debt-ridden South Koreans playing a life or death children's game for a chance to win $38 million resonates with North Koreans, especially the rich residents of Pyongyang. Squid Game has been able to enter the country on memory storage devices such as USB flash drives and SD cards, which are smuggled in by ship and then make their way inland. They say that the content is similar to the lives of Pyongyang officials who fight in the foreign currency market as if it is a fight for life or death. The plot of the show parallels the reality for some in North Korea, where those who earn too much money could be executed at any time. So even when you're on top, not so great.
Nope.
Also resonates with the youth because they are drawn to unusually violent scenes. They secretly watch the show under blankets at night on their portable media players. Imagine like parents here are worried about their teens like doing weird stuff online. Imagine being worried that your teen's doing something that's going to get them fucking killed or put your whole family in labor camp for life.
Yeah, because if you're in high school, like having it, you get a life sentence for just possessing it.
Yeah.
Like, my God, man.
So in this case, a law enforcement source, which in a province that shares a border with China, told Radio Free Asia Monday that a high school student watched Squid Game in a classroom with one of his friends. The friend told several other students who became interested and they shared the flash drive. They were caught by the censors in 109 Sangmu, who had received a tip off. I don't know what 109 Sangmu is, but it sounds shitty.
I don't want to know. Their version of NSA, I would imagine.
Yeah. The government strike force against outside media. Oh, you're right. Surveillance Bureau Group 109 then arrested the seven students in what is believed to be the first time North Korea is applying the new law against minors. Authorities then started scouring nearby markets for memory storage devices and foreign media after the students were caught. So big time crackdown. The residents are trembling in fear because clearly no mercy is being shown. Doesn't even matter if you are a kid. So it's absolutely fucking crazy.
And it goes on to say that the authorities are now getting bribed because they're poor as shit too. And some of these people, they don't have much money anyways. And now they're getting bribed to do it. Just insane, man. I'm always fascinated, and I would love to get somebody on this show that's a North Korean defector. Mm. I feel like to do that is just so unbelievably brave. And I mean, brave and knowing that you're putting your own family at risk too, because if you do defect and they're back at home, you know, they're going to get punished too. I wonder how those chats go, because you would imagine you talk to your family before, somebody would probably talk to your family before you're doing it. I just can't imagine living in a way like that. Just can't imagine it.
Yeah, can't imagine North Korea in general. You know, not surprised. This story stinks, but it's also not surprising, which is unfortunate.
One of the craziest stories, Kim Jong-il was a huge cinephile, so nobody in the country could have these movies, but he was so into movies, he actually kidnapped some of his favorite actors from South Korea and kept them imprisoned in his palace and made them pretend they had been married at one point, they got divorced, he kidnapped them and then made them force them. They had to act like they were still together and still happy, like he liked them in their movies for 20-something years until they finally escaped. It's absolutely crazy story. He had these huge, huge warehouses where almost every movie ever in the history of the world was kept perfectly while his people are starving. Really interesting stuff.
Now they call that Netflix.
Yeah, now they call it Netflix. So anyway, kind of crazy stories from there. But those poor people, fucking A.
Nuts. Let's move on to something a little bit lighter. And this one, you know, we love our science on the show.
Well, big science heads.
People say that we don't like science and they're flat out wrong. I was so proud that this happened in San Antonio and the news first broke from the San Antonio Express, just beyond proud. And it starts out with there was a dude named Dan Durda, which we got to workshop that name.
Dan not
Durda
great.
Is just,
Dan Durda.
That's a big old stick.
Golly. Imagine being 10 years old with that name.
You can go. That's not a situation you could go with Dan. You got to keep it Daniel.
Yeah. Why am I sneezing around my cat?
Because I got dandered.
Because I got dandered. Duh. Mm-hmm.
Dandered, yep, exactly, duh. Right. Well, Dan Durda, God bless his soul. He's a planetary scientist in San Antonio Southwest Research Institute, which is a beautiful facility overlooking a golf course, by the way. Super fancy. And they have a bunch of monkeys there. So you know, the research brought big chunks of carbon and resembled asteroids from private dealers. And they took them to NASA's Ames Vertical Gun Range in California, Silicon Valley, and blasted them with pellets fired from a light gas gun. They are studying kinetic impact deflection, that is how asteroids react to force. Nearly two decades after the experiments taught them it's safer to nudge ancient space rubble to change its course rather than to smash them apart, since its fragments might continue to race through space and then slam into Earth. Earlier this week, and this is where it actually happens, NASA used the same approach in its first ever test to protect the human race from the asteroids. The Double Asteroid Redirection Test, or DART, Durda is part of NASA's project team for the mission. The agency launched a spacecraft on Space Force X Falcon 9 rocket earlier on Wednesday from Vandenberg Space Force Base in California, and the rocket is making a 6.8 million mile, 10-month flight around the sun toward the Deimos asteroid system. The 1,200-pound spacecraft is expected to collide with Dimorphos, an asteroid that's 524 feet across. So that's almost two football fields, to put it into perspective. It's just about two. That's a pretty big asteroid. So, and it's going 15,000 miles per hour through space.
That's it?
So pretty it's going to kind of, I don't know if it's okay to say this. So it's going to kind of kamikaze itself into the asteroid, but not in a way to explode it, in a way to just shift it on a different course.
Yeah. I wish you'd have said it in a way that won't end up getting you canceled, but yes, that's essentially what it's going
to be. Is that a cancelable thing?
No, I don't think so. I think it's an adjective. Have a kamikaze pilot. So I think it's a way that they did it. And spoiler alert, it's a fact. Kamikaze pilots were a thing.
They did it.
So DART is the first ever NASA mission to do the experiment, pushing a little asteroid and seeing how far it's going to respond. I actually kind of like it. And it's smart. They're using it I would imagine water, you know, like for if you've ever been in, I like Kate's already nodding her head yes, where mm-hmm. she doesn't even know where I'm going. She's just like, oh yeah.
No that, clue. It is science talk. This is what I do.
Kate, how, if you are caught, this is a good Marine question. We have an opportunity for Stolen Valor Katie here. If you are caught in a riptide, what do you do?
You go out with it. You're just chilling and you swim to the side. You don't try and fight it.
That's
you just
right.
kind of go with the flow and then you go left or right, pal.
That's exactly right. So you swim with it and you push, you're still moving it off course just a little bit. And I imagine that's what they're doing here. They're just setting up those boundaries, kind of like a bumper in bowling, where it's going to come and it's like, oh, you can't go quite that far. You can't go that far. And you just nudge it out of the way. Because if you're, if it's 15 million miles away or 6.8 million miles away, and you just do it like a point of point something percentage wise, the odds are that it's going to move way off course and not hit Earth, right? Like that's that from that far, taking an angle, kind of like
yeah.
when if you're a safety and you're going after a really fast wide receiver, he might be faster than you, but if you catch the angle, you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to tell you, I can't wait
to get, read my TMs after this one. The actual science people were like, God damn it. You guys are fucking idiots.
We're so fucking dumb.
I mean, if
we need to bring Quigs on for this show.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
We should have had Quigs on.
I will say, if I'm anybody right now and I'm annoyed, I'm Ed Logg and Lyle Rains. They're the gentlemen who designed Asteroids for Atari back in the day. Mm. And this is just a complete ripoff of their video game. And if they're not getting money for this, then they need to be very annoyed at NASA.
Asteroids a great game. But they also blew them to shit, too. They had that one big spaceship that'll come in there and just lay waste to everything. Probably when they use up, down, left, right, BA, select, start.
Yeah.
Well, can I say something?
Yes.
I drove across country once when I got out of the Marine Corps, actually, and I saw a sign as I was going through Arizona, come check out this meteor crater. And I was like, all right, I'm sure it's not nothing that crazy. Like, see the big ball of yarn, the big frying pan, go see this crater. It was fucking wild. It was produced 50,000 years ago. The asteroid was traveling 26,000 miles an hour and it was 550 feet. It was almost the same size as this one. It created a whole, you like stand on the edge. It was like a mile across and like, like so incredibly crazy deep. They said they had like how they dig mines. People brought equipment in there to try and find the heart of the crater that hit. Then they still haven't been able, like it went so far deep. It killed everything like across the country. Like it was fucking wild. So I can understand. That's the same size crater. Like that's the same size asteroid that they're trying to nudge.
How far on Earth you can actually feel that? Because if it makes a mile, I mean, think about different explosions that you guys have been around. Cons, you've been around a lot with artillery, like having those. You could even a 500-pound explosive, you can feel that shit from hundreds of meters away.
Yeah.
If it's a mile across or 600 meters across and impacting at 15, 20,000 miles an hour, you have to feel that at least across the United States. Like if it happened, I would imagine if that happened in Texas, you could probably feel it at least Arkansas.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I just think of like a Miklik. You guys know what those are, the mind clearing. Yeah. That's, and if you've ever been around one of those explosions, it's something similar where they shoot the line out and it comes at you and it's like, whoa, I feel that. So I can only imagine what that would feel like.
You know why I hate asteroids?
Tell us.
Because if it wasn't for Asteroids, one of my least favorite songs ever wouldn't exist, where Steven Tyler's voice goes up at the end after, don't want to close my eyes.
But was that made for, that movie?
The whole music video is that movie, where his daughter is the one. Yeah,
it was the title song of that movie. Yeah.
Don't want to close my eyes, because I miss you, babe.
That's a consistent take from you for years.
And I don't want to miss it.
I would have thought you were a big Steven Tyler head.
When I was, he was my first crush. And then his mouth got real big.
Was it the album, the CD that had like the all the different cow boobs on it?
Janie's Got a Gun for some reason was real mysterious to me. I liked the way he tied handkerchiefs to his microphone as well.
Oh yeah, he was had a huge, probably the best handkerchief game of all time.
Seemed fun.
Yeah.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Amazing.
How do you feel about people breastfeeding cats, Cons?
You know, I didn't know it was a thing, but then again, Robert De Niro asked that question for us.
Do people breastfeed their cats?
Yes, because it happened on a flight. That's what round number four is. A woman on a recent Delta flight allegedly began to breastfeed her pet cat mid-flight and refused to stop after getting caught. The incident allegedly happened during a recent trip on aboard a Delta flight, a route that travels between Syracuse, New York, and Atlanta, Georgia. An image posted to a social media site suggests that the purported cat breastfeeding happened while the plane was heading towards Atlanta. The image circulating online describes the event in what appears to be a screen capture of a message sent using the aircraft communication addressing reporting system, which pilots use to give little messages down. If you've seen The Martian, you know, it's mm-hmm. like they have a message from Watney is coming through. The message report that the passenger in seat 13A is, quote, breastfeeding a cat and will not put the cat back in a carrier. In response to a request from a flight attendant, the message asks that the situation be addressed by the airline's, quote, red coat team upon landing. Delta describes members who are part of the elite airport customer service experts who are specially trained to handle.
Listen, I had no idea airlines had special forces units.
I didn't either. I had no idea. This story, Kate's mouth has been open the entire time that I'm reading this story. However, a TikTok account from a flight attendant says that security met the flight because a woman was breastfeeding her cat. The woman had one of those like hairless cats swallowed up in a blanket, so it looked like a baby. Her shirt was up and she was trying to get the cat to latch, and she wouldn't put the cat back in the carrier, and the cat was screaming for its life. What does she do at home if she's doing that in public, she asked. And if the security met the flight, just tell her that she couldn't do it, because that's weird and gross.
Kate, not a good look for cat people. Sorry.
I don't put this on cat people. I put this on people who fucking breastfeed. This is, Kate, defend your lady here. Defend your compatriot.
I will tell you this. By the time we got our flight to Atlanta,
I'll tell you this. I find out you've been breastfeeding Spork, you're fired.
Yeah. Not breastfeeding Spork. On the way to Atlanta, they say you got to give your kid a bottle or breast or whatever as you're taking off and landing, because their little baby ears don't pop like ours do. Mm-hmm. And so the swallowing motion helps them, whatever. He wasn't taking his bottle. I'm like, I'm going to try and give him some boob. He was getting fussy. He was pulling his ear. So I'm like crammed in this tiny ass seat and I'm trying to get him whatever. I couldn't figure it out. I just finally just pulled my fucking tits out and was like flipping them around and my nipples were everywhere. And I was like, whatever, dude, I'm trying to fit. Like, I just gave up. I didn't know what else to do.
Your mother, that's a human baby. Who was supposed to eat your milk. Right. That's
and
normal.
I was trying to.
My perspective on breastfeeding moms changed drastically after having a kid, because if a mom is willing to go through that you should be able to do that from the top of the Empire State Building if you want to, like what you have to go through to do that.
But
I don't care if moms are out there titty out and doing and breastfeeding in public. That's part of life. A cat.
As someone who's breastfeeding, the thought of my cat it makes me want to throw up in my mouth.
Yeah, but one of your big complaints, and then that you've wrote in blogs and you've said on this show, nipple pain is a real thing for moms. And to have a cat's teeth
are sharp.
They're not meat and vegetable eaters. They are carnivores. They only eat meat-based products. So they have to be chewing. Her nipples must feel like balloon knots, like chewing on the end of like a deflated beach ball.
They have to be the same texture as her heels. That's fucking gross.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
She could use one of those shaping eggs on her nipples.
And she was probably trying to, I guess the cat was screaming, so she was trying to calm it down. But I don't even know what to make of this.
If your cat's hungry, you don't. First of all, if you have the hairless cats, you're a fucking weirdo. That is the most pre-crime shit in the world. Those cats, have you seen what you have to do if you have one? They don't have the ability to clean themselves like normal cats. So you have to like take tweezers in between their toes and pull out like this gunky shit. No. You have to bathe them like every 3 days and condition their skin and all that. If you have one of those cats, you're a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
Like just from the jump. But to go from being that level of weirdo to breastfeeding my cat, this woman needs to be institutionalized.
Well,
you
can't
have folks walking around public like this.
Does this woman get put on a no-fly list?
Has to. Instantly. Right? If Absolutely. You'll breastfeed a cat, you have no time.
You'll do anything.
Yeah, you have your pain tolerance is unbelievable. She could probably have box cutters up her butt, not know, like just all kinds of things. It's things insane. That we don't even want to get into.
Yeah.
I can't even pick up my cat without getting shredded, dude. I can't even imagine getting one to try and latch on my nipple. My brain is just not comprehending this at all. It's fucking wild.
And I would say, if you ask me to power rank the animals that I would not want to breastfeed, cats up there.
Up there.
Up there at the top. Obviously, I'm not going after a crocodile or an alligator. Let's not be insane.
Also,
I'm not
going to breastfeed
a snapping turtle. No way. Or an alligator turtle. Reptiles in general, which luckily for us, they don't breastfeed anyway. So we're going to be fine with that. Cat, not doing it. That's probably my number one mammal I wouldn't want to do. And I would rather breastfeed a tiger than a hairless cat.
Still kind of a cat. Oh, than a hairless cat. Sure. Yeah. Sure. Absolutely.
It's the hairless. The hairless aspect of this cat makes it feel like an animal from the devil.
Yes. I was just going to say, I have to put my pastor hat on for a second, because lest we forget, I am ordained. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and make the declaration. Hairless cats. Abomination to the Lord. Just absolutely. There's got to be a passage that wasn't translated correctly in the Old Testament, probably in the book of Numbers, either Numbers or Leviticus, that indicates if you breed a cat to the point where it no longer has hair, hell.
No, I don't shave my pubes.
Yeah, you got to let those things grow.
Is this an ad for Manscaped?
It's absolutely not. We don't have one of those today. So let's go ahead.
I thought I was going to ease us into a read. Okay.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
All right, let's move on to round number five. This one's with Kate's beloved firefighters making an appearance on the show in a positive way.
I love firefighters.
It's the volunteers. Dakota Meyer.
That's different.
No, I think Dakota's actually full-time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's a full-time firefighter. Also, first of all,
he's just doing that for the love of the game. He's kind of like, because he doesn't have to do that. He has like businesses and things like that, that he makes his money from. He's just doing it for the love of the game.
Yeah. Incredible. It's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. So first of all, have you guys ever been, especially growing up and you're like, goofing with your cousins at a campfire, have you ever put anything in a fire that immediately you thought maybe I shouldn't have done that?
Oh gosh.
Piss.
Right. Piss, sure.
I mean, off steam, the top of my head,
the way your piss steams when you're doing it, oh, disgusting.
I remember one thing being upstate at like a little camp in the Poconos, and when the adults were looking, like throwing all sorts of like trash in it to see what different trash would do. Oh, yeah. And like, wow, look at what the plaza. And then throwing in something that all of a sudden all these little ashes went flying everywhere into the dry woods. And it was like, oh, we shouldn't have done that. Oh. And then starting fires was big when I was a kid with a magnifying glass. Oh, huge deal. And then three.
Oh, wait, I told you guys a couple of weeks ago how I set a forest fire once.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you just get the urge. Yeah, you almost burn your neighbor's house down. Yes, you almost burn your neighbor's house.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, what is that about? Like, everybody goes through like a little pyro phase. What's with that?
I think it's just incredible.
Even like my dogs and stuff, like Baby Dale and Gus, I don't think they cognitively know what fire is. Mm-hmm. But they'll go outside and they'll just look at it whenever there's a fire going. It's just like, oh, look at that.
I think it's pretty crazy.
If you have a soul of any sort, you enjoy fire.
I agree. Well, so one of the things, the last thing with fire that really sticks out in my mind with fucking around fire was that in Afghanistan, on the smaller outposts, you had to be careful. They said, watch the ANA. They'll throw shit into the fire that they're not supposed to throw into the burn pit.
Oh, because we're real careful about what we put in the burn
pit. Well, sometimes there was things that they would try and unload the weight or unload stuff. And there was reports coming across that they had thrown in certain areas had been throwing rounds and shit into the fire.
All right, that's pretty bad. We don't do that.
Obviously, what happens when you throw fucking live rounds into a fire, they cook off and they can shoot anywhere. So anyone becomes a target. Slightly similar case here, kind of. Firefighters in South Carolina, Greenwood, South Carolina, believe a fire started inside a room at an assisted living facility due to bullets put inside a toaster oven, police said.
So sad picturing this because it's in a nursing home. All these old people just sitting there chewing on their own gums, doing that weird thing that people do in nursing homes where they're like, constantly making their lips wet.
It's coming for all of us.
My grandparents used to make me hug those folks with the fucking vomit on there just because he was a pastor.
Yeah.
What a disgusting thing to have to do. I never make my kids hug.
Somebody, me neither.
Not
never
doing
gonna.
Because I had to hug so many people in nursing homes. Yeah. That was disgusting. anyways, imagine these old folks chewing on their gums, sitting there. But lots of the old men, legit war veterans, like at that time period where you have Vietnam and Korea that are primarily into World War II guys, having it cooking off while you're in the nursing home playing Barasta with your friends.
Just at 9 p.m. on a Sunday, no less. Yeah, all of a sudden, gunshots. Gunshots start going off and the fire alarm goes off. And officers...
Well, that'd be number two.
Yeah, officers... found a small fire inside a resident's room. One person was unconscious. That person was taken to the hospital for smoke inhalation. Police believe the fire started because the resident put several rounds of ammo into a toaster oven. This caused the ammunition to discharge, making employees believe they heard gunshots. Firefighters put the fire out.
We need to know more. First of all, I need to know the color of the toaster. If the toaster is red, that would indicate that this veteran thought that it was an amnesty box. He found some rounds on his person, decided to dump him in the amnesty box.
You're trying to do the right thing, Staff Sergeant.
You must have quit. This is exactly right. This is a classic case of good initiative, bad judgment, where you think that that cooks your toaster strudel, sir. Like that is not the amnesty box.
I can see somebody storing them.
An old person did an old person thing. That's what happened.
Well, wait, there's this book I read called it's a fantastic book by Lucinda Franks. It's called My Father's Secret War. And it's a biography, but she's talking about how her father is getting older and she has to start going over and helping him out a little bit. And as she's going through the house,
make me look bad for my amnesty story your caveat here,
she knew that her father was in World War II, but he never really talked about what he did. And she starts finding, and he was a really peaceful little guy, whatever. She starts finding weapons hidden all over the house, ammo, all sorts of stuff, little secret books. It turns out he was one of the top secret service, like secret undercover, whatever guys World War II, like going ahead of the battles and like going way undercover, whatever. And she finds all this out because as he got older, he had started hiding things around the house and kind of reliving things and whatever. And she finds all this out and like, maybe this person thought they were hiding the ammo in there and then forgot, like,
or lady. Could be a lady.
Yeah, she could be a badass.
That's what I'm thinking, Kate. But seriously, that's what I was thinking. I didn't even realize where they were putting it. They probably just had a lapse of judgment and didn't know it was a microwave.
Or they got bored and they're old and they're like, hey, if this takes, let's see. If this takes me out.
Oh, yeah. This could be a group of veterans just sitting around and be like, what do you guys think?
What happens if we put this in the microwave?
Like playing second.
That's because you don't hear when they get together, like the older folks, when they talk about that. Like I kind of like to eavesdrop when I'm at the VA. They don't have those same kind of stories. Like they talk about the weather. I don't think that they share the same way that our generation of veteran does. It'll be interesting what life is like at nursing homes when we're there. Mm-hmm. Like when our generation, like, remember this shit?
Yeah.
I was,
yeah.
That motherfucker. Like, that's how we're going to talk and be covered in tattoos, which I think is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Everybody always thinks that's a drawback to tattoos. What is it going to look like when you're 85? Who gives a shit? I'm 85. It's not like my balls are looking good. If my wife dies, nobody else is going to try to suck my dick.
Oh, man.
It's not like the SU's looking great at 85. It's all broken right down at that point.
All the care staff is going to know I was
milking my cats forever.
Yeah. They're all going to know I was a real slut in my 20s when they see my tramp stamp.
Yeah, but it won't be a tramp stamp at that point because you imagine your back, it'll sag. It might get hidden. Like at the location, because I got that's a tramp stamp too in
that's
my height.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The cross might be in my butthole at some point.
Right.
But yeah, Chaps, I do that. I do that too when I've been at the VA. You just kind of sit there quietly and kind of listen to those conversations. That they're fun to listen to.
Yeah. Oh, the VA here went from Fox News. Not Fox News anymore. Not conservative enough. They got ONN going on.
Oh, man.
OAN.
I bet that's like spicy waiting room. Yeah. Spicy waiting room.
You're trying to talk all these olds to get in the vaccine, and you got ON on the TV that basically says that's like injecting ghosts in your blood.
The last time I went, which I'm glad I did, I got the guy in the waiting room goes, oh, you're WM, huh? And I was like, yeah, well, I guess
that's. Did you cancel him?
No, I canceled him. And he was like, yeah, I used to be a cook at Paris Island, and I picked 4th Battalion, even though the drone structure
said do that. Okay, you should just cancel all
I was like, you're fucking canceled. You're canceled. No, of course,
you
I should polite
have a cancel button. Like, you just pull it out, like, oh, well, or get a cancel log. Who's canceled?
I wanted to cancel this guy because he's only like 10 years older than me. So,
you can cancel him. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, absolutely like can.
Oh, olds can say whatever they want.
Oh, no, olds get canceled too. Olds get away with it way too much. Yeah. Like, they need to be put in their place, their little old ass place.
Let me tell you, when I was in high school, I volunteered at the VA and they would say some spicy shit. I'll tell you this much.
And my guess is it was probably not appropriate for a woman's ears.
Spicy.
Anyone's ears, I would
say. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, God bless.
All right, let's move on to save rounds and alibis. Nick, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so we're on the topic of firefighters. Obviously, you guys know my dad was a fire captain. Mm-hmm. Just one of the tidbits about him, two things. My parents' first date was at the firehouse in Brownsville, Brooklyn, which is like the most dangerous neighborhood ever. So that's one. And then secondly, anytime I enter a new building, so like I start here, right, in the office, he'll have me call him and I have to tell him where both fire exits are located.
I love that.
He would do, like, you know, when the warden comes up and like they're like, all right, this is your fire exit, this is A, this is your C stairwell, what do we do when it's hot, whatever. My dad was, he did that for like 10 years.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
Just a little tidbit about my dad. He loves
who's
the
current fire marshal for our company. Do you know?
I have no idea.
It used to be office manager Brett.
Oh boy. I mean, maybe Spider. Maybe.
Oh yeah. We need to get
I would trust him though to get people in order. Like that bass in his voice to get it done.
Yeah. It might be Enrique and I would trust him.
Could be.
Yeah. I follow Enrique.
I would follow
him. Ebony tells you to do something. You're doing it.
That's true. Anyone at the front desk, I'll follow.
All right, Cons, what do you got?
Let's see. I have a question first to you, Chaps.
Okay.
You said Home Alone 2 is the better of the Home Alones. Why?
It's wrong. So fucking stupid. Sorry.
It's wrong, but I want to know why.
Yeah, it's very
one,
dumb.
The level of violence that Kevin uses, he ups the ante. He realizes the first time he had kid gloves on and it wasn't enough, so next time he needs to send a real shot across the bow. So I like to see the growth in the leadership of a young Kevin McAllister. Two, I like the fact that he improvises, adapts, and overcomes faster and more effectively in the second one, where to put all that stuff in a hotel room, quickness of thought, having the clown blow up thing where he can sing, still having his uncle in the shower going on there to get the creepy guy out. I love that. The message of I don't feel bad for the old man who everybody thought was creepy. When you're an old man, you walk around with a big old snow shovel and you have a big old beard, you know people are going to think you're creepy. That just comes with the territory. I don't feel bad for that old man. Befriending an unhoused person in New York, I feel like shows the Christmas spirit.
She had the best house ever. She was top of the fucking opera.
This is unbelievable. This is typical. She got a free
opera every night. She had a great house.
I just think it's the better, and it's funnier. Now, the funniest moment of any of the two is when Marv gets the bricks to the face. That is the funniest scene in any of the Home Alones, by far.
He just keeps sucking brick to the face.
No, it's when he gets electrocuted in the first one. It's when he gets electrocuted.
He gets electrocuted in this one, too, underneath the house. When he puts the thing, that's when he gets electrocuted.
No, but in the first one. First one's better. Sorry. Yeah,
the first one when he calls them a horse's ass. You're
sticking to it. This is what's wrong with American discourse, right?
I'll go to jail for 16 years.
I definitively showed you with scientific evidence why two was better.
Yeah, and I'm gonna refute all that if you give me a second to talk. You're not giving me a chance to talk.
Scientifically, see, this is people just dig in.
You're not giving me a chance.
You guys have been. You guys are QAnon as far as Home Alone goes.
The best line is when he says, why are you dressed like a
Michael
chicken?
Michael Flynn Jr.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Why dressed like a chicken? No, the first one, it's more impressive because he's 2 years younger. So the fact that he's able to do all that at eight, come on. That's number one. Number two, the fact that he has the...
Number two, also number one to refute that, he was a petulant little child in the last one. He caused a lot of it by his lonesome.
Yeah, I don't know. Number two, he had the peace of mind to stage an entire party to make it seem like there were a bunch of people in his home. That was very smart.
Michael Jordan on the train.
Yeah, oh,
definitely smart. My argument wasn't.
And you know what else? Here's the definitive thing, right? In the second one, the house is going through a whole renovation. He didn't have to worry about it at all. He just did all the destruction and left.
Right.
The first one, he cleaned that up. That house was spotless when his family came home.
He bought fabric. That's
so much more. Yeah, you get the milk eggs and fabric.
He charged the cleaning service to his dad's car.
Baloney.
There's no way.
You know what he did in the second one?
The first one's way more realistic.
The second one, he ran up his dad's credit card with the room service. That was very inconsiderate.
He deserves it. That's being resourceful.
Yeah.
And the last people that is going to talk about running up a credit card is going to be some military veterans. I'll tell you that because we run it up with our military budget all the time. Right, Kate? Home Alone to the Superior. Right.
Yeah. No, we'll just have to agree to disagree. Chaps, you and I kind of talked about this already. Sorry about your Roadrunners.
Yeah. Disappointing.
Oh, what happened?
We lost big time.
Here's the thing. I think there's like 130 Division I football teams now. It's somewhere around that number. The fact that there's only two teams that are still undefeated should tell you how hard it is to go undefeated.
And there ain't a lot of teams with one loss.
No. So that's, it's still a great season. They're still playing for the championship. So, and they still got a bowl. So they're going in the right direction, certainly as a program.
Oh, I'd
have
signed up for 11-1 at the beginning of the season, no doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Just about anybody would. And then speaking of football, my favorite time of year, Army released as you're listening to this
Jags Titans game.
Yeah. Army released their uniforms for the Army Navy game. You can see those behind me. If you're watching on YouTube, we are honoring the Special Forces horse soldiers in response to 9/11 that went to Afghanistan. We're at 20th anniversary, a little over the 20th anniversary of 9/11. So playing in, technically New Jersey, but, New York City for all intents and purposes, honoring the FDNY, NYPD, and the Special Forces soldiers. The uniforms look so crisp, so clean. Here's how you know they're good, okay? Because unprovoked, Chaps wrote a blog and said they were good. And Chaps would never say that anything positive in my direction if it wasn't actually true.
That's exactly right. That's what having integrity does. It's when I'm being when I say something, people really know that I'm telling the truth. And I don't know what Navy does. You can't do anything. Are they going to do the same thing? Now it just looks like they're trying. Even though it was prepared 4 years ago, they look like they are trying to match what Army did with another tribute.
They did a little teaser video today, Navy did, and it's like showing the outline of a jet on an aircraft carrier, and it says prepare for takeoff. So I guess they're going to honor another piece of machinery again. They're probably honoring
whenever George Bush dropped the mission accomplished flag.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I think that'll be it. Yes.
No, I mean, I don't know how you compete with these uniforms. They're going to look great, and hopefully it snows again and we're camouflaged in the snow again, but we'll see.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Anyway,
that's all I got. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. Last thing, I was informed while recording that going forward, I will be charged $5 every time I leave the toilet seat up in my home. So that's,
I like that.
I need her to come over here and help me out.
She's just going to start creating Pavlovian responses for cons. She's going to get like a shot caller from her.
Yeah. We're almost there.
I need her help.
Kate?
Nothing. Some people are saying that I have hand, foot, and mouth disease.
Yeah.
That my whole body is covered in sores and bumps. It's not. That's false.
Does oatmeal baths help?
No.
Have you tried? Anyway,
nothing really helps it. I've done all the Googling, and you're just in hell for a couple days. Feels like your body is dipped in hot bleach, and it gets, I'll tell you, it gets everywhere. It gets every crevice of your body, in your mouth. Yeah.
Sorry you're dealing with that. That does stink.
Anyway, so that's a cool thing, but I'm at the tail end of, or someone else is at the tail end of it. So,
right.
Nothing to see here.
Okay.
Happy. Hope everyone had a good turkey day. Chaps, don't leave me hanging. Okay.
Chaps, do you have anything? Okay.